Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. I appreciate you checking your Twitter last night and showing up on time this week. Way to go, Jared. Nice job.
I actually I put an alarm in my phone to go off.
Wow.
To always tell me, either wake me up or if I'm doing something else, to always tell me that, hey, remember, you're on the Robbie and Rex Road program, the very popular Robbie and Rex Road program.
That's correct.
Every Friday morning, so very excited to be here.
Very nicely done. Jared, I do want to wish you, us, and all of our listeners a very happy anniversary. It was this day a year ago that the Titans waltzed into Lambeau Field, put up 27 points, had potentially their greatest offensive performance of the season under Todd Downing. They got the win. They improved to 7-3. The plane from Green Bay happened, and they hadn't won on the road since then. Happy anniversary, Jared.
Something went down on that plane.
Yes. The limbo.
And Joe they don't can get the limbo. Joe can deny it as much as he wants, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the Titans have not won on the road since the plane from Green Bay.
So you think there was like a curse placed while on the plane?
For all I know, it could be like the Louisville dorm rooms, and they could be having prostitutes on that plane. And the NFL came in
there.
That's
responsible.
And the NFL came in and investigated and said, no, we're not going to do any of that. And all of a sudden, the road trips, apparently the Titans just don't seem to get their act together on the road anymore.
Not having any fun on the plane anymore.
I mean, it could be that. I don't know.
Like, we joke, but Jared seriously spent weeks talking about the freaking plane from Green Bay, including, like, this former GM said maybe something. I mean, he's a former GM. Like,
I mean, he did say it, and he was a former GM.
Right, which, what does that have to do
so
with
I
that
guess his,
plane?
I guess his opinion doesn't count.
Well, he's not talking about GM stuff. He's not talking about players. He's not talking about personnel. He's not talking about salaries. He's talking about a plane ride. He has no idea what happened on it.
He was asked, why did Robinson get fired? And he brought
that
up.
I don't know, man. I had that plane from Green Bay. And Jared's like, well, he's a GM. That must mean something. I mean, seriously.
No. In all seriousness,
No, really. We didn't rip you enough for this.
I mean, I don't understand, like, how you could – did you think when Robinson got fired – that there wasn't a chance that there was an HR element, like that when Robin, like the day
yes,
Robinson got
the
fired,
the day, yes, absolutely,
not, like,
of course, we
I,
talked about this, the
I
day
spent
of,
like four
yeah.
days, like trying to figure out,
dude,
okay,
you spent
like,
weeks talking about the plane from Green Bay.
Did he harass somebody?
Sure.
Did he steal from the office? Did he, you know, whatever?
Yes,
because it didn't make any freaking sense that the Titans fired him the way they fired him.
Yeah, so here's what. I just tell you from my perspective. Yes, absolutely. The first thought is like, what could have happened, all that, and then you talk to people and then you say, oh yeah, okay, no, it's just that Amy was really mad about all these things and so she fired him for terrible job performance.
I'm very happy we could revisit
it. Was
this.
It took like a day to figure that out, and you spent weeks, I don't know, guys, that plane from Green Bay.
I'll say this right now with the current Titans, you talk to people right now, they tell you there's nothing wrong between Vrabel and Rand Carthon. Those guys see eye to eye. It is a perfect collaboration. Then you talk to Fitz and Charles Robinson, and that's not what they said. So I don't know what to believe, Joe.
Well, no. That's
you talk to people with the Titans.
Right.
They don't tell you that it was an ownership.
It wasn't
pick
a press. Yeah, Jared. It
you
wasn't
talk
a press
to Charles
conference,
Robinson,
buddy.
And Charles Robinson says that it was an ownership pick.
By the way, so let's get into Charles because you know. He had the thing on this show or on his podcast too about ownership driven. So Charles, I have no idea who it is. Never will know. Never will ask. Charles has a good source in the Titans organization. I'd say Charles has a good source in most, if not all. That's what he's done for 20 years of building that, right? Well, Charles also asked around about that, Jared. I mean, come on, like you understand the difference, right? I mean, I'm not talking about press conference people saying everything's great, guys. Like, there's a press conference today, which I
you had Diana on your show, and Diana said everything was great.
Okay, I don't know what's going, but let me ask you this: I have no idea the day to day between Vrabel and Rand Carthon. I saw TD put out a video,
and you also don't know what happened on that plane coming back from Green Bay.
No, I do know that that's not why he got fired. Are you leaving the door cracked on that, Jared?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on that plane coming back from Green Bay.
Well, right. I don't know who played like
Parcheesi. I know you don't know either.
I don't know who played Parcheesi and who played, Euchre. You're right. I do know that it had nothing to do with
John. I think the game they play is called Bure. You should ask Derek about it.
You're trying. So you think it's still possible the plane from Green Bay had something to do with John Robinson's firing?
Probably not, but
Okay, thank you.
At the same time, like, it was perfectly valid
for a day.
It was valid for a day. It was part of the reason why.
We're approaching a year of the Inspector Clouseau nickname for Stillman as well. That's good.
That was from this?
It was from this.
Isn't that nice?
I like it.
I don't even know where to go from here, but way to get your listeners screaming at TD. Robbie, nice job.
Robbie teased that we were going to be talking about the Jags game.
Yep.
And in all seriousness,
I'm really excited.
I don't, right now they've got the AFC playoff picture up on ESPN. Jacksonville, of course, is division leader at 6-3. Then there's the wild card teams, which happen to include the Texans. Then there's the in the hunt, Colts, Raiders, Bengals, Bills, Chargers, Jets. You're not even in the hunt. You stink. This game on Sunday, there's no juice. Like, there's no, who cares about the Jacksonville game? It doesn't matter. The season is over, and I think even you guys agree with me on that.
I do agree with you on that. It matters from the quarterback perspective, though. He needs to play well, and they got to find a way to keep him from being totally eviscerated out there. Are you worried about him being hurt on Sunday against Jacksonville?
Of course I'm worried about him getting hurt 25 times in three games. You know, Paul said on this show right after Tannehill got hurt, he said, and I thought it was, one of the very few things that I've agreed with that Paul said, and he said that it was inevitable that Ryan Tannehill was going to be in the locker room on crutches after a game this year. He said inevitable, and I completely agree with that. And I told TD after week two, I said, Tannehill can't do this 15 more times. Like, he cannot take this pounding 15 more times. And I do not believe that Will Levis can take this. And I know Will Levis is like, you just got to have your wits about you. But I do not think Will Levis can take this pounding 8 more times. I think they got to figure something out. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to. I mean, they've had a year and a half to figure out the offensive line, and they haven't. You know, the Supreme Court of the Titans, the triumvirate, whatever you want to call it, the commission, they spent all offseason. Vrabel got to protect the quarterback, and the best they did was Andre Dillard. So I have no faith in the Titans not getting the quarterback killed at some point.
The triumvirate. I like it.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity. First of all, Jared, if they win Sunday, you will talk about the standings next week, whether you want to admit it or not. Okay, it will come back up. I mean, I understand the position they're in. I agree with you. But if they win this Sunday, it will become a topic again. Second of all, so would you sit Levis then? Would you sit him down right now? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm just telling you, if they're gonna sit there and send five guys out into the pass pattern on third and long, like they did on Sunday, they're gonna get the quarterback hurt.
There you go. How do you evaluate the way that Henry has played so far this year? We talked about this yesterday. He's second in the league in rushing, which I think probably is more of an evaluation of how the rest of the league uses running backs.
20 carries, they win. 20 carries, they win.
It's true.
Jared knows the math.
Here's what everybody's got to figure out, and by everybody, I mean them. And they don't have an answer for this. And as much as they act like this isn't a big deal, this is absolutely a big deal. They have got to figure out how it is that they can block out at home but not block on the road. And it can't just be that, we have to go to the silent count, and when we go to the silent count, they're firing off the ball at the same time as our guys are firing off the ball. Because it's not like when I think of the hardest places to play in pro sports that I think about Indianapolis as like this place that, when you go on the road to Indy, that's a real tough one.
Duval,
it's not.
That milky pool flowing out there.
I mean, like, Pittsburgh, sure. New Orleans, of course. But Tampa? Like, no. So whatever it is, I don't get it. And I could not believe myself when Vrabel said the other day when Paul asked him, the best time to get Vrabel's after the game. Like, that's where he hasn't had time to rehearse, or think about what he's going to say. And he was asked about why they can't ever pass protect or why consistently they don't have good pass protection. And Vrabel said to Paul that, we had it 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, 2 weeks? What? And yet the truth is they've been able to block at home. And I don't understand how you can block at home, but you can't block on the road. And so to answer your question about evaluating Derrick Henry, it's like evaluating Tannehill after the Browns game. It's like evaluating Levis after the Bucks game. I can't. How do you evaluate the quarterback? He got hit the entire time, and every time he completed a pass, they dropped it. So I don't know, like, how to evaluate the quarterback. I guess he played okay. I don't know how to evaluate Tannehill of the Cleveland game. I don't know how to evaluate Derrick Henry. I mean, there are some times where they run the ball with Derrick Henry, and it looks like he's going to get tackled 2 yards in the backfield, and he gets 4 yards, and my dad and I look at each other and like, damn, he got 4 yards out of that. You know? So I don't know what to tell you. Like, is Derrick – There have been runs this year that I've seen Derek where he gets maybe tripped up at the end or a DB's running with him and ends up pushing him out of bounds or tackling him that I'm like, you know, 3 years ago, that's a house call. But for the most part, I think Derrick Henry's been pretty good, but there's no real way to know.
So what's up with these goofballs who are attracted to your show like fleas to a dog attacking TD? Why did you let this happen?
Me? I don't tell the people what to say when they call in.
Oh, I saw you laughing. You enjoyed it. You owe TD an apology.
TD's pretty fired.
What do I owe TD an apology for?
I'm just trolling you.
But, I mean, I will say
that guy was an idiot, though.
That thing was freaking fire yesterday.
It was spicy.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sitting there and, like, I'm saying to myself as TD is just wailing on this caller. And I'm like, all right, do I dump the caller? Do I let this go? I'm like, you know, I think this is pretty entertaining radio. I'm going to let it go.
It
was very entertaining.
I missed it live, but I heard some of the aftermath, and my gosh.
Well, and what was crazy, too, and, like, I don't know if you've looked at it since you guys don't go 4 minutes without looking at the text line.
Thank
but
you.
I
looking at
wonder,
it right now.
Like, when
– they all hate you.
When the
spoiler
people
alert.
Were calling in about – when the people were calling in about TD – and there might have been, like, the first three people were, like, anti-TD or whatever. Then, the whole text line, it was, like, 98% in favor of TD. Like, this guy's crazy. TD does a great job. TD's a... And yet the three callers, like, it's definitely not a representation of how the people felt. But it was wild. And, like, and I just said, hey. That's talk radio for you, babe.
It sure is. Jared, have a wonderful weekend.
I thought we were supposed to break down the Titans and the Jags game.
We just did.
You did. You're fine.
You said we were going to tease the Titans and the Jags game.
We just did. We just talked Titans-Jags. We talked about it enough.
See you guys.
See you. Jared Stillman every week at 7 o'clock here on the program.
See, that's what happens when you have a 3-6 NFL team. You know, we just talk about media stuff instead of... And the freaking plane.
I'm glad
like,
we
Chip from Mount Juliet.
The plane from Green Bay.
Chip from Mount Juliet is actually like, I think later we may find out a connection with that plane ride. Like, you are, stop it.
I'm
Chip
so
from
glad.
Mount Juliet.
So glad I brought this back.
Maybe up. They got in trouble listening to Creed on the plane.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll Creed, never know. The Creed thing is an absolute virus right now. I'm sick of it.
We'll react to what Jared had to say. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line, which is very popular on our program. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate our friend Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment.
So much.
Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders kicking off at 1 o'clock at home against UTEP. Pre-game beginning at 12 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. I'm just glad we could revisit Inspector Clouseau, one of my favorite nicknames you've given ever.
Didn't we actually that? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
We played the music.
Panther music.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
1 year ago today, the Titans won a road game. Who knew at that time that it'd be maybe the last road win we've ever seen for the Titans?
Amazing.
Just terrible. So, like,
it really is.
Does this mean, like, they're due? The cycle's ending on Sunday? It's a calendar year. It's got to come to an end at some point.
Well, this is kind of the point of this thing I wrote that Vols fans are real mad still about, you know, because they're getting lumped in with the Titans and Vanderbilt. And admittedly, the Titans and Vanderbilt's bad year is way worse than the Vols' bad year. But you got the Titans going to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The Vols have a chance to beat Georgia. It's like the, and the Vanderbilt will not lose.
They will not.
I mean,
this could be a redemption weekend.
Redemption weekend is here for all.
Really is. I mean, this is a big opportunity coming up this weekend for the Titans and the Vols. And like I said, Vanderbilt's not going to lose. They got one more game. Got the week off. So who knows?
Extra time to
the switch could flip
look at the Vols
this weekend. Who knows? What is more shocking? Tennessee upsetting Georgia, or the Titans going on the road scoring like three touchdowns and beating Jacksonville? How many touchdowns they got on the road this year? Two?
They have two. They have two touchdowns and I think 14 field goals on the road.
Boy.
Love the road field goals. Yeah. The more shocking thing would be the Vols, to me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
To actually beat Georgia the way Georgia's playing right now?
Yes.
With their full complement of players, yeah, that would be more shocking. But, like, to your point, you do sweeten the deal if it's the Titans win and it includes three offensive touchdowns. It's getting closer. Like, the scales are balancing a little bit on that, because if the Titans score three touchdowns in a road game, Katie bar the door.
That's right. What's your temperature of the Titans fan base right now? Because I do agree with Jared. Like, it feels like this game heading into this weekend has almost no buzz, just because people have watched the Titans play nine games this season. They're like, geez, all right, well, you kind of know what they are offensively with that offensive line, and the standings are what they are. They're the second worst team in the AFC. What's your temperature of the Titans fan base right now as it relates to how they're feeling now and what that could mean for the rest of this year?
Well, look, I still think that there's a pretty decent level of interest that would not be there if it was just Tannehill quarterback in this team and
totally
all
agree.
The other things. So if they win this game and Will Levis leads them to the win in this game, then we are still talking about the future and a division with four teams that now have their quarterback long-term, well, or at least medium-term quarterbacks.
That's the second mute
picked.
I've had today, presumed.
Thank you. It's a good word, too.
Two mutes.
You can't mute yourself when you have a good word like that. So that means something beyond that they're 4-6 and okay, now we can talk about the standings and all that stuff. I mean, it means something if Will Levis goes in and beats Trevor Lawrence on the road, doesn't it? It's ultimately there's a lot more to it than quarterback, but we're trying to figure out how these quarterbacks are going to fare over the next few years, and it's going to have a lot to say about what I think could be a really good division if the Titans can fix their roster.
Keith on the text line says, I think the Titans should take a bus to Green Bay, get on a plane, and fly back. Just start over.
It's like Lost. Like the show Lost.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The plane! Or Fantasy Island. The plane!
Everybody get on the bus. Driving up to Green Bay. We got to fly back. We got to do a little better than we did last time.
We're all going to sit there. You can have one ginger ale. No swear words. No cards. The cards are the devil's work.
We're going to play Connect Four on the way back.
That's good.
Maybe that's what it's going to take for the Titans to get a road game.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, to Jared's point, I don't know exactly what all happened on the plane.
I don't either.
Like, do we know for sure that, like, you know, like, did a bunch of other people who got off that plane get Ubers home? Like, I don't even, like, was it just a wild, wild party? I don't know.
That cold Green Bay air was messing with the minds of the Titans on the way back. Who knows?
Yeah, it was brutal. God, it was brutal.
Just an offensive juggernaut they were that night. 27 points.
Well, and that was also, of course, I mean, that was the Treylon Burks breakout
game.
It
was.
You know, that was, here he is. And I do point to that game for that reason, because I've seen him do it in an NFL game. We won't see him do it, this Sunday, because he's not going to be available, as we'll find out today. For sure.
Yeah.
Even though it's basically been said for sure. But that was an example of Treylon Burks and what he can be as a player.
Yep. Well, Will Levis, by the way, a full participant both days. So he is listed as a foot injury on the injury report, but he has practiced both days. So doesn't look like there's any concern there other than he's on the injury report.
And it looks like maybe Tannehill will actually be the backup.
The viable, healthy backup.
The available backup this week.
Yeah.
And did not ask for his release, even though Nick Kieser sends us fake tweets about that.
That is true.
He's not even listening to us.
He doesn't
care what we're saying.
That, or he's just saying, you know what? screw you guys.
I think we need to rip him more just to get him to listen to the show more.
Nick, do you know what radio program that you're on?
Yes, I do. Okay, your producer also has another job making updates and doing all the other things.
That's good.
And finding fake tweets about Ryan Tannehill asking for his release.
That was atrocious. I'll be honest, I took a 2-hour nap yesterday, didn't feel the greatest yesterday afternoon, and I saw that and thought, wait.
Well, big news.
Interesting.
Gotta send it.
Someone else sent it to me first, and then I didn't look at the guy's profile, so that was bad on my part.
Next time,
sorry.
Next time, just retweet, then send it to us.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, quote Tannehill's tweeted, had, Tannehill, yeah, there you go. Tannehill's had a lot of crap flying around about him this week.
He really has, though.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know that he really deserves.
Yeah, we may get into some of that a little bit later. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Tennessee and Georgia. If the Vols have a path to victory tomorrow against Georgia, what is it? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 11 matchup against the Jaguars and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you. The Vols hosting Georgia tomorrow at Neyland Stadium, 2:30 on CBS, the SEC game of the week. Georgia, a 10.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Georgia playing really well right now. They destroyed Ole Miss last week at home. They have won, I believe, is it 28 in a row now? I think 28 in a row.
That seems good.
27, 28 in a row, somewhere in that neighborhood. Back-to-back national championships, all those things. And are now number one in the college football playoff rankings again. So the number one team in town coming to Knoxville tomorrow. We've discussed this game and the challenge that is now in front of Tennessee after they got shellacked last week against Missouri. If Tennessee is going to hang in there, Joe, and they're going to have a chance to win, and ultimately if they are going to win and pull off the upset tomorrow, what's the path to making that happen? What has to happen for Tennessee to hang in there with Georgia and have an opportunity to win this game?
To me, the path is absolute. Well, it certainly is. You have to score points because Georgia's going to score points. But I think the thing that gets better for sure with the Vols at home is the defense and the defensive pressure. You know, the run stopping, all these things. I mean, Georgia has great players all over the field. They don't have, I think, one of like vintage, you know, running backs like they've had before. They have an all-time – I mean, like Brock Bowers is going to be a top-10 pick, so we know how great he is. And, you know, Ladd McConkey is awfully good. I mean, he's a pro too. So you got to – but the thing is, the Tennessee – like just the intensity level, the crowd, all that stuff, that's where it's got to be – it's got to be not just ferocious and intense and all that, but it's also got to be it's got to be focused and smart because Tennessee made a lot of – Schrader's a heck of a player. Cody Schrader's a heck of a player. But, like, he can't catch a swing pass and then have no one within 15 yards of him
right.
when he catches it.
Like, can't handle
stuff. Their linebackers were bad. Elijah Herring had a brutal game last week. It's just how – say what it is. I mean, I think he's a nice young player. He's going to be good. But, you know, last week was I a few times watching that game like, man – if just Keenan Peely never got hurt, what does that mean? There's a reason they brought him in, an experienced linebacker.
Well, by the way, Arian Carter plays. Didn't play last week either.
Right, and he's hurt. So, Herring got exposed in that game. So, you know, Georgia's going to try to get some matchups there. They're going to try to make that work for them. So, it's all got to be connected and all that stuff just like you'd expect. I mean, the problem is Georgia – first of all, I think their quarterback's underrated. I think he's really coming on as a heck of a player. But the pressure rate on him, he's been pressured 8.9% of dropbacks. That's lowest in the country. He's the overall pressure rate. Well, their pressure rate given up, 8.9%, that's best in the country. You know, and their run blocking has been amazing. They're rushers, and this is – I'm reading from Seth Emerson's story in The Athletic, but they're running backs or their ball carriers, 2.8 yards before contact. this year. Yeah. And so, again, like, you know, Kendall Milton, like Edwards are good players. They're not, I don't think, like amazing players relative.
No Sean Marino running around back there.
Yeah. No Sean Marino. That's there you go. I mean, even not even like Sony Michel at Georgia, you know, but there's, I mean, they're great all over the field. You gotta get some stops, some sacks. You gotta rip the ball out. Like, the defense has got to cause havoc, because if they have time, you know, then Bauer, there's no matchup for Bowers. There's no matchup for McConkey. You know, you've got to be at your absolute best up front. I mean, James Pierce has to have, like, an incredible game. Tyler Barron, Amari Thomas. I mean, those guys have got to be – that's where I start in this game. It's kind of Titans-ish, where it's like, if that part of your team is great, then everything else, you have a chance to have success against a good team. And then offensively, you got to get back to running the football, and that's going to be very difficult. But that is one thing about Georgia. I think Georgia overall – this might be their best offense of the three. But this is clearly their worst defense of the three, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you lose as much talent as they've lost. Yeah.
It's still great. But it's not overwhelming, because the last 2 years, they kicked Tennessee's butt in so many matchups individually. It just didn't matter what your scheme is.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, like, you got to get those running backs going again.
To me, Tennessee has no chance to win this game if they don't turn the ball over a couple of times and force turnovers from Georgia. You got to protect the ball, and you got to steal a couple possessions, because I think Tennessee's offense is going to have a tough time sustaining drives against this Georgia team. Tennessee's offense, through different periods this year, has had a tough time sustaining drives in general, just because it's just been up and down with their offense. And now you've got Thornton unavailable to play, Brew McCoy can't play. So it's Squirrel White on the outside, and then you've got Ramel Keaton, who's been unreliable this year, and then some young guys that have kind of been mixing and matching as to who they've played the last few weeks. To me, like, you've got to find a way to punch a ball out, fall on it, you know, hit the quarterback where the ball floats up in the air, intercept it. Like, you've got to find a way to create a couple turnovers, and you got to play clean offensively. Like, you can't turn the ball over deep in your own territory. You just give yourself no chance if you do that. So, to me, like, Tennessee's defense has to find a way in this game to make two or three plays that change the outlook of the game. Like, you got to, whether it's a sack on third and two, whether you force a punt, whether it's forcing a turnover, like, you've got to find a way, if you're Tennessee's defense, to steal a couple of possessions here if you're going to have a chance to win. To me, I still think Georgia. Tennessee's defense will be better than they were last week. They're not just going to get totally gashed out there. I think there's a little bit of pride that comes with that, and they're at home. Like, they should play better. I mean, you're still, if you're Tennessee, to win the game, you're going to have to score 27, 31, 34, somewhere in that neighborhood, to me, if you're going to win this game.
We've talked a lot about this, and we have not mentioned Joe Milton, who, by the way, probably also has to have, like, the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Even if all these things happen – like, Joe Milton can't turn it over. Joe Milton has to make big plays. And I don't know where the big play comes from. They've struggled to take the top off defenses. They started to get a guy who could do it in Thornton, which I thought all year would be a guy who would do it. Now he's hurt, unfortunately for him,
yep.
Unfortunately for them. But I think that Joe Milton, as a designed runner, has to be – I think when they've had – think of the first half against Alabama. Think of the Texas A&M game.
Yeah.
Even the Kentucky game. This offense has functioned a lot better when that's been an intentional part of it. And I think you have to do that. Now, you know, against Georgia, you're going against future pros, and you got to be careful. But I think that's got to be part of the game plan.
Well, what I'm about to say is counterintuitive in some ways to what I just talked about in terms of protecting the football and stealing a couple possessions. I do think, though, in order to generate some of those big plays, you're going to have to throw a couple up if you're Joe Milton, and see whether or not Squirrel White or Ramel Keaton or somebody can come down with it. Like, you're going to have to take some chances on a couple 50-50 balls and see if your receiver can go up and make a play for you. Otherwise, yeah. I don't know how you're going to generate big plays. You know, Tennessee will probably run it a little bit better than they did last week. I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to run the ball overly effectively against Georgia. So if you're not throwing a couple up there and seeing if your receivers can come down with it, I don't know where the big plays are going to be coming from in this game.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look, he can put it up like no one else can. Yeah. So try it. Last year, as bad as that game went, I mean, I thought Hooker made a good decision. I think, was that to Keaton? I don't remember if it was to Keaton or was, I don't think it was Hyatt, but regardless, you know, he threw it up there and their corner made an NFL play.
Tillman.
It was to Tillman. Yep. Okay. And corner made an NFL play and there you go. That's what Georgia did last year. They just had pros all over the field and they were just better than you. But still, that was worthwhile to me. If you get it to the point where you've got, you know, even decent man coverage downfield, if it's man coverage, yep. You know, the choice route, you pick it deep and you go. And
well, it's
gonna
be
know who's your best chance.
More times than not, it's going to be man. Georgia's going to man up against them. It's what they've done ever since they played them.
Right. Like they may have, you know, they may have a man free with a safety deep, whatever, you know. Give it a shot, man. Absolutely. The only thing they did well on offense last week was the one time they took a shot,
it worked.
Was a touchdown.
William from Dover on the text line says, Jackson Ross with a punt fake pass this weekend. Call him a shot. I mean,
something like
he
that.
He takes 7 seconds to punt the ball. So I guess one day they could throw one. He's been really good, by the way.
He has.
A lot of good punters in this state. We're figuring it out.
I mean, the continent of Australia is just going to completely overtake punting pretty soon. It's going to be Stonehouse and a bunch of Aussies in the NFL in 10 years.
Is there a state in our beloved union that is more equipped to punt the football than this one? I think the answer is no.
God, you're right. That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's what I should have written. The greatness of punting in Tennessee rather than the awful year.
Yeah.
See?
I mean, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and the Titans all have excellent punters.
Absolutely.
Not just good punters. Excellent punters.
Yeah, and I don't know about Ross. I think it absolutely can be in the NFL. Vanderbilt's punter is a pro.
No question. So get excited.
And Ryan Stonehouse.
He can punt the heck out of the football in this state.
It's punt state U. Punt.
You nailed it.
I tried to come up with a pun. A pun.
On that note, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. TD coming up at 8 o'clock to look ahead to the Titans and the Jags. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Joe, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Well, like I said, you got a bad football team. Let's just talk about media stuff.
Let's do that.
This has been quite a media week.
It has.
Around here and around the country. It's very disturbing, really, on a lot of fronts. So, first of all, I guess we've talked about the TD. We got TD coming up next. We can ask him about this. But, Nick, you got the TD thing yesterday from TD Power Hour on Stillman and Company? Okay, let's listen to that.
What's up, Larry?
First of all, guys, most sacks comes off the ends in the NFL. It's a no-brainer. The reason Skronsky ain't out there on the end because Vrabel's too stubborn. But that's another point for another day. Teron, you don't want to lose your club privileges. I know you probably tell
– Club privileges? What the hell are you talking about?
You don't want to lose your privileges inside the organization.
What I say on here has nothing to do with my privileges. You're talking out of pure ignorance.
You're a Vrabel yes man.
No,
like.
I ain't no Vrabel yes man. You could come to the studio and see me. I ain't no yes man. Don't get on here and disrespect me, man. I ain't no yes man. I speak my mind, and I have an opinion. And if my opinion doesn't agree with yours, then it's just not going to agree. But you're not going to sit here and question. No. F that. You're not going to sit here and question my character, dude. You don't even know me, so stop that.
Can I get my point across, yes or no?
Go ahead.
Me and my daughter are huge Titans fans, and – I tell her, like, Miss Amy is going to fire.
Okay, so that was, then he said a bunch of stuff. But Okay. So we got that. That happened yesterday, yep. Which I didn't hear live. Then I heard the replay, and I'm like, my goodness. And that speaks to an all-time – I must have – how many pet peeves do I have, Robbie?
You got a lot. You got a long fuse, though.
Too many. Yeah, that's right. Great point made by me this week. Okay. And I'm putting this stuff all together. So let's hear Carissa Thompson from yesterday.
And I've said this before, so I haven't been fired for saying it, but I'll say it again. I would make up the report sometimes because, A, the coach wouldn't come out at halftime or it was too late. And I was like, I didn't want to screw up the report. So I was like, I'm just going to make this up because, first of all, no coach is going to get mad if I say, hey, we need to stop hurting ourselves. We need to be better on third down. We need to stop turning the ball
pressure
over.
The quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. and do a better job of getting off the field. Like, they're not going to correct me on that.
Right.
So I'm like, it's fine. I'll just make up the report.
Yeah, just make up the report. That's Carissa Thompson yesterday. That became a social media firestorm, which I didn't, you know, these things get to the point where it's like everyone feels I have to tweet about it, which is fine. I mean, a lot of strong feelings about it. It's just I'm watching it, the world burn on that. All of it. And then, so this week we also had Kronje Phillips commit an absolute journalism atrocity at the expense of Ryan Tannehill, which also, by the way, that, apparently that idea has, like Micah Parsons has tweeted about it. It's so ridiculous, the Tannehill thing. All of which is, this has been a really distressing week in media.
Yep.
So let's deal with Carissa Thompson first. I saw she was on the Pardon My Take Barstool podcast.
Correct.
So I saw Barstool Big Cat tweet like, oh, you guys listen to it. Everybody's overreacting. Yeah, we just listened to it. Carissa Thompson should never work another sideline. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, that's – you make stuff up? I don't think people have been outraged enough. Again, social media makes things so just – it's like you just got to get away. And I mostly try to just get away from it. But I did see a lot of valid points made by people, especially sideline reporters. No, you don't make something up.
Sure.
Ever. Ever. And the thing is, it's so hard – like – there are so many people who actually think that people who do what we do have no credibility, aren't doing it honestly. I'm telling you, most people do. I cannot buy that there's another sideline reporter out there, and maybe there is, but I have a hard time buying it. I'd say it's 99% that would ever make something. Oh, I didn't get the report. Just if you do your job, that is a hell of a hard job, sideline reporting. A lot of people think it's just like, you know, attractive women say whatever, and I know some people are like, who cares about sideline reports? That's a bunch of crap. Bunch of fantastic reporters who do that job. I could never do that job. That is a hard job. And what you do is you report all week, and then you have information. Best sideline reporter I've ever seen, friend of the show, Lisa Byington, always had information. Whether she just got an interview with the coach or not, you have reporting done to say something. And if you didn't get the coach, say that. That happens all the time. Now, I'm more pissed about this than I realize now that I'm starting to talk about it. It's such a disgrace.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me, beyond the obvious of what you've just said. We gotta separate the perceived value of sideline, like halftime reporter interviews, and what she said here. So, like, I've seen a lot of, well, who cares about this because coaches never say anything anyway. And I get that. That's fine. Like, you can say that the silent – because, look, honestly, a lot of times this stupid, like, hey, let's go down to such and such for one question before the coach walks into the locker room, it serves almost no purpose every
that
time.
That part of it is usually not good.
It's stupid. So I get that.
But sometimes a coach will pop off and
sometimes,
it is good.
But that even all that's irrelevant. Like, yes. Beyond the coach not saying anything of it, that's a separate issue. The issue is – she just openly admitted to getting on live television and lying to her entire audience. Like, it's a big deal from that perspective.
Right. So people see that and they're like, okay, well, that's just standard operating. No, it's not. But when someone does something like that, my God, it's damaging. It really, and in particular for women, because one of the tweets I saw Caroline Fenton had a tweet, and she's right. It's like you already, it's this ridiculous a need to fight for respect for women in this industry, which is stupid, but it's reality. And so then something like this happened. It's just like, well, you just hurt that. You know, you just fed people who don't want to respect them. Karan Jay Phillips writes something like there's serious issues to write about with race. There's a lot there, but this was just total made up garbage. And again, so people who want to scream that it's all just, you know, people playing the race card. Well, there you just fueled them. And now we flip it around to the TD thing. It's kind of a tough to try to draw these things together, but it's just a media week. Here's the caller. The thing that really pisses me off is this, like, you're worried about your access. We talked about this. You know, Jared has the same amount of access that TD has, that the Titans provide. Jared can go to any press conference. Jared can go – and I'm just using Jared as an example because Jared spends, like, a lot of days talking about how stupid Vrabel is, right? Like, what access – like, the idea that these teams are just giving out access if you're going to be friendly to them is so detached from reality. And then beyond that, the personal side of this, TD's a fantastic reporter. He does it the right way. And if he doesn't agree that Vrabel's terrible, I don't even know what the guy's point was, that you're going to go to, oh, you're a yes man, and they're gonna cut you out of the locker room. They can't cut us out of the locker room. And I'm not even saying they want to, but they can't anyway, okay? Like, that's why there are protections in place for media to cover these things independently.
Yeah.
I mean, so basically, I'm just pissed off, and that long fuse I talked about this week is really a great self-analysis.
Well, it was interesting last night. You know, all my Twitter feed was last night was people talking about the game going on and then the Carissa Thompson stuff, which I will say, like, if you're a sideline reporter, I appreciate you making your comments known last night. Other members of the media, like, not everything has to be about you. Like, you don't have to take every story and make it about your own personal journey.
Social media.
Like, it doesn't have to be about you. You don't have to comment on everything. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. So can we please stop that? Because that was annoying last night. Now everybody on Twitter is, oh, well, I work my butt off. Let's see if we can make this about me and how much I work and my path to get here. Can we stop doing that when you're not a sideline reporter? But other than that, I mean, that's all it was last night. It's a big deal.
I think that's fair. Like, some of the text I says, Joe, you get lumped in like good police officers or bad police. Well, it's any. I mean, lawyers. Like, some people are just like, lawyer. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of lawyers are really smart and do really great work, right? But some people are just like, lawyers are scumbags. And I get it. Some people are just always going to be like, media, lie, and they're scumbags and whatever. So it's just part of – I mean, it's part of the deal. But I am going to defend it when it's so grossly misinterpreted like that.
Yeah, well, and now the, you know, people are all over telling her that they should take her off the Amazon broadcast. I don't know that I agree with that. Like, she's not a sideline reporter on the Amazon broadcast, but yeah, I don't. It's kind of crazy to me that she could just outright, yeah, I just made stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to just come out and say it. It's like, okay, interesting.
It's amazing that she ever thought that's okay. I don't. And then, yeah, saying it on a podcast. And no, it wasn't taken out of context. Listen to it. It's not at all. What she said is exactly as she said it. Like,
yeah.
So I don't think she should work sidelines anymore.
No.
I mean, I really don't.
But she doesn't really now, though, right?
Like, she's pretty much out of that. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what comes of that. Chip's on one today. Listened to it yesterday. Sure sounded like TD was defending the Titans big time, just like Willie does the Preds. Again, it's fine if you want to disagree. I mean, we all have different outlooks, okay? I mean – but all I'm saying is, in both cases, like, no one's doing this because they're fearful of, like, retaliation or it's not actually their opinion. If someone's not actually giving their opinion, then tee off on them.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. That's a smorgasbord of rants. I like it. A combination.
I guess. Weekend. Try to get it all in before the weekend.
Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. We'll get TD's thoughts on the Titans. Take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.